Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
Well, the Fed did what they're going to do, and we've been talking about this for over a month now. They did. They went ahead and raised rates on Wednesday 25 basis points. So now the Fed fund rate sits at 5.5%. Market liked it for the week. The Dow was up 0.7%. Year-to-date, we're sitting right at 7%. Up S&P 500, up 1% for the week. Up over 19% year-to-date. Pretty strong there. NASDAQ, again, just continuing to power on, up 36.8% year-to-date. For the week, up 2%. The international index as well, up 0.7% for the week. Year-to-date, up 12.8%. A 10-year treasury settling at 3.96%. Oil had a pretty good week, up 4.4%. Year-to-date, now positive slightly, closing in at $80.48 a barrel. And bonds are off a little bit after Thursday. We'll talk about that. But year-to-date up 1.7%. So I got a question after the Fed raised rates from Jason. Jason asked me, was this the last rate hike from the Fed? Well, Jason, they may not admit it, but it very well could be. So what does the Fed decision on Wednesday mean for the market? That's the big question. Well, the markets expected the Fed to do the quarter point. And that's why that it has been rallying the way it has these last few weeks. And as I've been talking about, this Fed expectation is one of the three pillars of the 23 stock market rally that I just spoke about. These sort of returns are pretty good. And following the decision, that pillar of consistent rate hikes is still in place. It hasn't been broken yet. And that's because it further reinforces the year-to-date gain in stock. But if we look at it from a tactical position, that means that what we saw in the markets prior to the Fed should continue as long as there are no major surprises. Like what? Well, you need to be looking for these. Cyclical sectors closing the performance gap with tech. What I mean by that is they haven't really performed well this year. Nothing's really been going on, except as I just mentioned with the oil market. That complex is starting to heat up. RSP, that's an index, and SPY, SPY. So we need to see RSP start to outperform the S&P 500. And a broadening of the stock market rally where we see the S&P start to turn sideways because of the valuations, and we start to see these sort of sectors improve, meaning go back up. That's where you're going to see more momentum. And so I'm looking at, these are the following symbols, XLI, XLE, XLB, small caps. You can look at the index IWM, value, and RSP. Those need to start to outperform. Bottom line, the Fed Wednesday really did nothing to counter the year-to-date rally in stocks or damage any of the three pillars supporting the rally that we've seen so far. And the pillars, again, soft to no landing, which, remember, that's never happened before. Fed near the end of the rate hike. And as we mentioned, we defined this last week, disinflation, which basically means no recession. At the same time, the Fed really did nothing to provide any catalyst or overcome the valuation we see right now on the S&P. So there's really no material news out there to drive this S&P 500 much higher, in my opinion. And so the takeaway from the Fed is just to keep watching the data, because the market is pricing in the Fed cutting rates, Jason, in early 24. So I'm going to pick March as the month when I think that may happen. And disappointment on either is where the risk is from a Fed standpoint, and the economic data will be key in determining whether those risks start to appear. So another thing you could be looking at is CPI readings between now and September. We know the Fed will meet again in September. And if the consumer price index or any related inflation numbers start to come in hotter than expected, we have two jobs reports, remember, the market will start to price the Fed raising rates and will probably go down. And this was best illustrated on Thursday, because you remember what happened on Thursday. Maybe you weren't paying attention. But on Thursday, we saw the market get a little squirrely. And that's because we had some hot news again from U.S. GDP. So the second quarter gross domestic product growth index came in. And this surprised to the upside. And what that shows is that the economy is what we're going to call above trend speed. So it's doing well. The annualized growth figure came in at 2.4%. That's really good. And it was above the estimates of 1.8. And this drove the market to consider whether it was in a good position. That's why Thursday was choppy. And the growth is resilient. It continues on. And this is supported by business investment, inventories continuing to chop up. And this was spread across many companies. So what was worth mentioning in that report? Well, personal consumption. Personal consumption was the driver of that. Came in at 1.6%. It was above expectation of 1.2. But that's a heck of a lot better than last quarter's 4.2% annualized growth rate. In fact, quite a bit better. So overall, while there were some areas of easing, the GDP number indicates no sign of an imminent recession. So there's no sign of an imminent recession or a downturn. And in my view, the economy could continue to undergo what we see as a rolling recession. These are new terms, a rolling recession, where some parts of the economy, such as manufacturing, housing, could be bottoming and then recover, while other parts continue to drive on. So these are the things that you need to pay attention to and keep watching, because we haven't seen the service sector, right? People are still traveling. They're staying in hotels. They're eating at restaurants. Airports are crazy. And this shows that the consumers are still spending. So we need to see that start to slow down. And I suspect as summer starts to wind up, we will. We'll start to see that soften on the second half of the year. And that's where the recession noise will start to heat up. And we may see some sort of a slowdown. Again, a rolling slowdown, nothing serious. People have asked me, is this going to be like 2008? No, it's not. I just don't see that happening right now. So the key question is, are we going to continue to see inflation grow or moderate and decline? That's really what we need to see. And the numbers will show it. So right now we're seeing a slowdown in inflation. That's good. And there's pockets, again, of hot spots. But I think that'll wind its way out. So where are the opportunities right now? What do you want to be taking a look at? Where do you want to be investing? What should you be doing? Well, you need to look at value. I think value right now is a nice place to look. Small caps, cyclicals, industrials, materials, and developed international. I'd be avoiding emerging markets right now. I'd be getting out of junk, if you haven't yet, junk bonds. And for your fixed income, you know, I've read an interesting article about 60-40 is dead. I don't think so. I think you just have to think about it a little differently. If you're allocating any money to bonds, there's some pretty good value out there right now. And you can get things that are federally insured. So for me, on the bond approach, I like the barbell. Think about a weight you pick up. There's a weight on each side of it, right? It's a barbell. So that means, and you can do your bonds the same way. On the left side, let's say that's the short end of the curve. That's the 1 to 3 year. And then on the right side, where you have the other weight, that's the farther end of the curve, maybe 20 year. And so you stagger it. And you buy different maturities at different months. So on the one-year treasury right now, yesterday, Friday, we saw it close in at, this is an average, by the way, 530. And on the 20-year, I'm seeing agencies at a 485. I mean, that's pretty strong. So if you can lock those rates in, and if we do get some sort of a rate reduction that comes, well, that's going to be really good. So the bottom line right now is I don't think the S&P 500 can keep going up every day. That phenomenon at some point will change, and a pullback shouldn't be a shock to you. And Thursday was some indication of what can happen. So you just have to pay attention. You got to be ready for it. And now's not a bad time to reallocate capital. It's really that simple.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.